Good morning, and welcome to worship at West Union Methodist Church. My name is Nick Deitman, and I serve on the Hospitality Ministries team. We are so glad you've chosen to worship with us during the holy season of Lent. Lent is a period of reflection and repentance as we prepare ourselves for Easter on April 4th. Many of the songs and words you'll hear today allude to this holy period. You'll find everything you need for worship today, including links to our hymns and our worship order, in the description section of the live feed. We also invite you to light a candle to represent Christ's presence with you today. We hope you feel God's presence, love, and grace during our worship together.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day here in Nashville and a day that we are celebrating joy in the Lord. And I'm so glad to be with all of you, whether you're worshiping with us over live stream or right here in the sanctuary. God is with us and we are here to worship. As we gather this morning, for those of you who are in the sanctuary, your RSVP was your registration for worship. If you're gathering over live stream, we would invite you to sign in and let us know that you're with us and worshiping alongside us this morning. There is a link that should be showing up on the screen, and if you'll copy that and place it in your browser, it will take you to the place where you can sign in. Just a few announcements to share with you this morning. Some things happening later this afternoon. Every Sunday during Lent from 11 to 1, we are opening the sanctuary for prayer stations, and we have some of those prayer stations up front so you can see some of the things that are available to you if you choose to come during those hours. At 11:30 every Sunday, one of our musicians will offer a musical offering and give you a chance to contemplate and to pray through music at 11:30. Then at 4 o'clock this afternoon, we'll have our congregational cabaret. This time last year, we had a variety show up in the theater and had so much fun experiencing the talents and silliness of some of the members of our congregation and staff. And our theater and drama group has put it together this year, so it's a virtual experience. I am going to play the banjo, so just... if that's a draw or I don't know, that may want you not to watch, but it'll come on at 4 o'clock through live stream and on Facebook, and you can watch it anytime after that. On the staff, we've been working hard to make plans for Easter, and in my Monday meditation tomorrow, I'll be sharing more details about those plans, but if you are in town, we hope that there will be a time that fits you and your family. We'll have opportunities both for indoor and outdoor worship on Easter Sunday, and we're looking forward to welcoming as many people as we possibly can to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. We continue on our journey toward Holy Week and Easter on this third Sunday of Lent as we join the Israelites as they gather for the first time in nearly two generations to worship together and to hear God's word. So with gratitude in our hearts as a people gathered together, let us worship God.
Let us gather together in person and across time and space to worship our God. Let us listen with attentive hearts to the word of God. Let us rejoice and be glad on this holy day. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. God is near to all who call out in truth, listening to our cries for help and offering salvation. Trusting in these promises, let us confess our sins and seek God's pardon on this Lenten journey. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. For those of you in the sanctuary, do that however is most safe and convenient. And then if you are worshiping at home, please share the peace of Christ with those you are worshiping with and online. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This is a lesson from Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 1 to 3 and 9 to 12. All the people gathered together in the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord." And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to take a special moment with the children. I'm happy to see some children here this morning, and I know there are many of you at home, and I hope you'll move just a little bit closer to your screens and share with all of us just a moment that's especially for you. When I was about 22, I moved to a big city, Washington, D.C. I had two friends who were there, but other than that, I didn't know anybody. And after I'd been living there for just a little while, something sort of sad happened in my life that made me pretty sad. And so I woke up on a Sunday morning and decided I wanted to go to church. I had kind of stopped going to church for a little while just because, I don't know, I was 22 and I just felt like I didn't really need to go to church. But I went to church that Sunday. And I sat down in the pew and the music started, and I started to cry. Just the tears about what I was sad about started to flow, and I felt a little embarrassed, and I wasn't sure what to do because I didn't know anybody in the church. But before I knew it, there was a tap on my shoulder, and this sweet woman sitting behind me handed me a Kleenex. And I wiped my eyes and blew my nose and said, "Thank you. I'm a little embarrassed." And she said, "You know what? Church is exactly the place we need to cry. It's okay to cry in church. It's also okay to laugh in church. It's okay to bring all of our feelings with us into church, because there are people here who love us. Even this woman who I didn't know gave me a Kleenex and took care of me and showed me God's love. So I want you to know that church is a place, and church are the people who will love you no matter what. And whether you're laughing or crying, there's no better place to laugh and to cry and to be all that you are than in church." Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for church. That's not just this building, but is your people, and that we've been able to be the church and to be part of the church even this year when we haven't been able to come in the building. We thank you so much that because of the people of your church and because of your love, it's okay to cry, and it's okay to laugh, and it's okay to be who we really are. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm just wondering how many of you have ever cried in church. Yeah. Happened to me last week, actually. Sitting over there. And for those of you who are worshiping at home, you got to see the children's choir. You got to see all their faces on a recording from Zoom as they sang. For those of us who were in the sanctuary, we didn't get the visual, but we did get to hear them. Their song was played in the sanctuary, so we could hear their sweet voices as we worshiped together. And that was the moment for me. And in those tears were mixed together all sorts of emotions. I was feeling so grateful and so happy to hear those sweet voices singing about Jesus' hands. And at the same time, it just came upon me, this deep grief that I had not heard the voices of children ringing in this space for a year. And so the tears came. Tears mixed with joy and gratitude and grief and all the things. And I brought those tears with me this week as I dove into this 8th chapter of Nehemiah and read about the tears of the Israelites. Now, Nehemiah is a book of the Bible that I don't spend much time with. I don't even know that I've ever preached from the book of Nehemiah. So it might be helpful for all of us just to know some of what's happening in the history of the Israelite people at this moment in the 8th chapter of Nehemiah. The kingdom of Israel was ruled by King David and then by King Solomon, and then it split into two, became the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. But for generations, it was an autonomous two nations living side by side. But in the year 586, thank you, Brandon. 586, the Babylonian army laid siege to Jerusalem. They tore down the wall of Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple and burned it to the ground. They took many of the citizens of Jerusalem and beyond into captivity and slavery in Babylon. The people were separated from one another. They were separated from their house of worship. They were separated from their homeland for more than two generations. And they didn't have Zoom and they didn't have live stream to help them feel connected to one another and to help them worship together. They were totally devastated. And they didn't know when or if it would ever come to an end. But then, 50 years later, the Persians had taken over the Babylonian Empire, and King Cyrus the Great became the leader of the Persian Empire. And he issued a decree that the Jewish people could return to their homeland, and they could rebuild the wall and reconstruct the temple. And so the books of Ezra and Nehemiah tell the story of that rebuilding and reconstruction. And in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, this is the moment when the temple has been rebuilt, the wall has been rebuilt, and for the very first time, all the people, women, men, children, are gathered together to worship and to hear for the first time in 50 years the word of God's law read aloud. And the priest Ezra reads for 6 hours straight. I'm not going to do that to you. But even after 6 hours, the people are still leaning in. So hungry and thirsty are they for the word of God. And they begin to weep. And they weep. And they weep. The story doesn't really say what's behind their tears. But I think there are many emotions contained in their tears. There's grief. Grief for the decades that they have been separated from one another. Grief over the people who are no longer with them and could not experience the restoration to the homeland and to the temple. There is grief and sorrow as they hear the word of God read aloud, and it dawns on them how far they have wandered from the ways of God and the commandments of God. There is also joy and gratitude as they look back over the time of exile and realize that God never forsook them, that God was always with them, that there were prophets all along the way proclaiming to them words of comfort and hope and promise. Tears of gratitude that they have come back home. And God is with them, and they have their temple again, and they have their city again. That's what I imagine is contained in all of their tears. And that's why I think this particular moment from Israel's history is so powerful for us in our moment. Because we have experienced a year that has in some ways felt like exile. We have been on this journey and are beginning to reemerge and are beginning to gather again. And if you're like me, we're discovering these tears that are in us that are a mixture of all sorts of things. We experience the grief of having been separated, the grief of having lost some along the way who won't be with us as we become reconstructed and rebuilt. And yet there is joy and anticipation and celebration and gratitude that things are beginning to move forward and open up again. Gratitude that we can look back and see how God has been with us every step of the way and not once has forsaken us. This has been a year when I have shed tears and many of us have shed tears as we have gone through the gut-wrenching process of reckoning with our country's history of racism and the way that has been played out in the lives of my family, in the lives of our institutions, and coming to terms with that grief. I was walking through the cloister garden the other day and saw our beautiful cornerstone of our church that is such an important part of our history and tells so much of our story. And yet, on that cornerstone, it says West End Methodist Episcopal Church South. It's a sign that at that moment in our history, our church was divided. And the South pulled away from the North because we believed that bishops and clergy should be able to enslave people. And that's in the foundation of the Methodist Church in this area. And so just as the tears of the people of Israel dropped onto the stones of the foundation of the temple, so our tears over our past and how we have time and again wandered from the ways of God are incorporated into our story. They're part of our story, and we grieve them, and we allow the tears to flow because we know and trust and believe that God, only God, can take those tears and redeem them, can meld them into the foundation of our experiences and build a new thing and bring new life and restoration. The experience of the Israelites in exile and in wandering from God and then returning made them a more grateful people, a more faithful people. They were ready to recommit themselves to the covenant with God, made them a people of deep compassion because their tears were part of their story. And the same is true for us, I believe. Whatever the tears are that we bring into this moment in our history, the tears over our separation this past year, the tears as we wrestle with our long past, the tears that each one of us has experienced across this year, whatever our losses may have been individually, we bring them with us into worship. And then we lean into this story. And we hear the word of Ezra and Nehemiah and the leaders of the people as they say, "Do not weep, for today is the Lord's day. Today is a day of joy and new beginning. Today our lives are being reconstructed and rebuilt through the power and presence and forgiveness of God. This is a day of joy." There's an invitation in this story to let the tears flow and then allow God to heal us from them and then walk fully and freely into God's joy. And did you hear the beautiful thing that Ezra and Nehemiah said to the people? "Go and eat the fat and drink the wine and share what you have with those who don't have enough. It's time to feast." And so, whatever tears you bring with you today, God invites you to let them flow they're welcome here. And then to lift up your heads into the sunshine and receive God's love and forgiveness and a new beginning, and to come to the table and have a feast, because this is the day of joy in the Lord. Amen.
Now I ask that we both rise, whether body and spirit, and let us say our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come, Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Our prayers are with, we celebrate the births of Eleanor Tinsley Terry, who was born February 22nd to Laura Terry. William Doran Murray was born February 26th to Sarah and Michael Murray. He is welcomed also by his sister, Olivia Mary. Our prayers, love, and thoughts are with Janet, Bill, and Carly Warfield and their families as they mourn the death of Janet's father, Jim Bellamy, who passed away on February 26. A graveside service was held on March 4th at Woodlawn Cemetery. Our prayers are also with Barbara Craig and her family as they mourn the death of her mother-in-law, Joyce Craig, who passed away on March 3rd in Wiley, Georgia. Services will be held at Wiley Presbyterian Church at a later date. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God who sees us, God who hears us, God who walks with us. God, it is in this sacred moment we first come with two words, and that is thank you. Thank you for bringing us to the beginning of another week. Thank you for reminding us that you are always with us. God, it is in this moment that we come with our fears, with our joys, with our concerns, with our anger, with all that we are. We come to seek your guidance, but also be renewed by your strength and by your love. God, we continue to pray for those that have been affected by COVID-19. We pray for the families that have suffered loss. Please be with them. We pray, dear God, that you continue to guide your people through this walk of life. For many of us, it has not been easy. We have had more questions than answers, but yet let us never lose faith in you. Help us to realize the importance of who we are and that our stories are not over yet. Guide us to be more loving, more understanding, and more caring. May we always be aware of your presence and be reminded that we are loved. God, be in front of us to guide us, behind us to protect us, above us to cover us, below us to uplift us, on our left and right to walk beside us, and inside us to give us strength and peace. Grant us, God, a vision of your world as your love would have it. Grant us the ability to never lose hope. Give us the inspiration and courage to build a better community and to acknowledge that by your works, we are wonderfully made in the image of you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. We invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. You can give through our website or text to give. You can also mail in a check. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark on the waters, saved Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave them your commandments and made them your covenant people. When your people were dragged into exile, separated from your temple and from one another, you called them home and helped them to rebuild. They renewed their covenant with you and found renewed joy in you. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Be seated if you are standing. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross for our sin, you raised him to life, presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at your right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now, when we, your people, prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance for sin and the cleansing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may be gifted and graced to reaffirm the covenant you made with us through Christ. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, and then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, each and every one of you. This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves once again in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on all who are gathered this day and on the gifts of bread and the cup that we bring. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. As those who have been invited to come and feast at Christ's table, let us pray the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The body of Christ is broken and given to all that we might feast and have the life of Christ within us. The cup of salvation poured out for all as a sign of grace. As we prepare to receive these elements together in the sanctuary and with all of you who are at home, it's always a privilege to be able to remind you that this is an open table, that everyone who's gathered with us has a place at this table. With your name on it, everyone is welcome to participate. We have a special basket of elements up here that our second graders will be using later this afternoon as they learn together about the sacrament of communion and what it means to us as Christians. As always, when we come to the communion table, we have an opportunity to offer a special gift for one of our missions in our congregation. Our outreach team puts together these missions to help us give to different organizations and ministries in our community. And our March communion offering supports Workers' Dignity, which is a center organizing for justice and dignity for all. They work to prevent wage theft, make sure that workers know their rights, and create safer work sites for construction workers in our ever-growing city. You can learn more about that in our Friday email and other publications. So we give and we receive at this table. I invite you now to receive the body of Christ broken for you, and the blood of Christ shed for you. invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join me in giving thanks for this feast. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. We go forth into this world as those whose foundation is in Christ and Christ alone. Upon that foundation, may we allow God to build and rebuild, construct and reconstruct us to be God's people in this world. And through that rebuilding, may we know grace, peace, and joy.